It is currently about 11 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Time for our What Do You Think program here on WLEW. And our guest on the program today, John Pridnia from the Port Austin Farmers Market. We're also going to be talking about some of the other things going on in Port Austin this summer. So I appreciate you taking time again with us, John. I guess it's that time again. You're about ready to open the town up for the Farmers Market.
Can you believe it? The eighth year that the Farmers Market has been put on in Port Austin. And I haven't gained one gray hair. I haven't aged a bit, but the market's 8 years old.
Well, we got at least the market's 8 years old for the full truth.
You got it. You absolutely have it. Yeah, we're going to open up this Saturday. We'll start our season, which will last through and including the middle of October. And matter of fact, this afternoon we'll be putting the last little bit of work to use. We need to mark all of the vendor booths for State Street, those two city blocks where our edible products are displayed. And then I think Friday we'll be painting the vendor booths on the lawn on the large lot that we use for our arts and crafts and other events. But everything else is done. We're just waiting for those two projects and good weather to continue. So we've got our fingers crossed.
Now, when you say painting in the lawn area, is that something that the mower takes up and you have to keep doing it all summer long?
Yeah, it's on that lot. That is exactly true. We paint the lines, but once the lawn is mowed, there's enough residue of paint that we can continue to repaint without having to remeasure and redesign, because that's the time-taking element. But it's worked out beautifully. Last year, we paved the gymnasium parking lot. That has made it so much easier for those vendors who do the arts and crafts and things like that. But the grass lot is treated as overflow, and now it's become necessary almost every single weekend.
Seems like the lawn part would be the easier part for people with tents, because you have stakes and stuff that'll go simply into the ground as opposed to your parking lot.
Well, you know, that's true, except we do not allow stakes in the ground because we're afraid a customer might trip and fall. But everyone who goes either on the asphalt parking lot, on the street, or on the grass is required to have weights, and weights work beautifully, and they're much more safe. So that really works out well.
You just have to make sure there is no big nor'easter coming in at the time.
Well, you know, that's Craig. That's another interesting thing. We've been advertising now for our eighth year, of we are a rain or shine market, and we have never closed due to rain or anything of that nature. But the last 2 weeks of October this past year, we had to close the market due to extremely high winds. Vendors were in line, ready to set up, but the wind gusts were over 40 miles an hour, and we could just see tents flying and vendors and customers as well being hurt. So that just didn't make any sense. So for 8 years, we've had two closures due to wind.
Well, it would be hard on the vendors, too, because some of their merchandise is light and could easily be, you know, two blocks away before they know of it.
Exactly. There's no question about it.
When something like that happens, I know you informed us and we tried to get the word out so that people aren't driving all the way there and finding out it's not going on. So keep tuned to the radio on a morning if it's windy or nasty, and we'll let you know.
That's perfect, because we've even passed that message on to our vendors. If there's any suspicion that weather might be a cause to close the market, listen to the radio station here in town, and we'll notify them generally by 5 o'clock in the morning. So
I know on the days you have the market, you're up before the crack of dawn.
That's all right. Keeps me out of trouble. We've done something different now. We've instituted a maximum allowed number of vendors. It used to be, as always, vendors who would come just on the three holiday weekends. And we just didn't think that was fair to those that are there every single week. But rather than adjust the entire market for the few that would take us over the limit on vendor spaces, we've stated clearly in our rules that we have 230 vendor sites, and they are available on a first-come, first-served basis. And when those 230 sites are full, we simply close the gate, do not allow any additional vendors to come in.
Is that the day of the event, or do you call in and reserve a site?
No, we don't take the reservations. It is the day of. And I think it's caused everything to kind of level out. I don't think it's presenting a problem, but it was difficult for our regular vendors to accept that we went to such great lengths for someone that might come just on the holiday weekend, which would be enormously busy. So I think to satisfy all, including our volunteers, that we've chosen to go that route. So for the your listeners, 230 sites, averaging over 150 vendors every weekend, you know you can come to the Port Austin Farmers Market and have a great selection of product and a family entertainment day as well.
Sounds like your limit might actually help you, though, in the setup, because people are going to get there earlier to make sure they've got a spot.
It does indeed. They'll line up some even the evening before. But, you know, for our volunteers, we couldn't function without the 8 or 9 volunteers that we have. And in the past, you know, they've had to show up at 4:45 in the morning to help us get set up, and then another crew to come in at 1 o'clock to help us clean up, put things away, and pick up litter. This will be the first year for volunteers to sleep in another half hour, and our vendors to know that we'll be opening the gates at 6 o'clock. It'll be a little hectic on the 3 holiday weekends, but getting set up within 2 hours is manageable, and I think everyone appreciates that extra half hour or hour sleep.
Well, I imagine you, because every Saturday in the summertime, you don't get to sleep in.
Well, that's okay. That's not a problem for my wife. Get me out of the house and get me out of her hair. I think this year we've had more requests of people around the state to call or have us attend meetings to help them set up their farmers market. Matter of fact, in mid-July, my wife and I have been asked to go to Traverse City for a huge convention of the Michigan Municipal League, which is all of cities, villages, townships, etc., so that they can have one setting for those communities that would like to put a farmer's market together. And I think it's wonderful. I'm glad to see, even in Huron County and the rest of the Thumb, that more communities are looking to put farmer's markets together. It's good for the community. It's good for the businesses who operate near the market. It's good for the vendors. It's actually just good for everyone to do so. So if any little community wants to put one together, we don't mind getting a phone call so that we can share information with them to make it the success. And no one should expect the success that we are enjoying. I think our market is unique, our location is unique, and the customer availability is unique because of campgrounds, state parks, and a region that's used to traveling a reasonable distance to do their shopping. So that all makes Port Austin a prime location for a farmer's market. But any one of the communities that are now starting one up or have begun one, my compliments to them. I think it's just great. We did put a conference on 3 years ago at a huge convention. I forget what it really was for, but it was at the Amway in Grand Rapids. And we got several letters afterwards of how the information helped them formulate something for their area. So it's just another thing that we're glad to do to help out. Back to our own farmers market, what has made us such a growing success is the variety of product. You can imagine every conceivable art or craft type to be in that section of our farmers market. But in the edible products, amongst the produce, amongst the baked goods, amongst all of those types of products, the jellies and jams and spices and such, we've really developed some products that are generally not able to be housed in other locations because of the lack of accommodation or lack of electricity for freezers, refrigerators. We have two commercial fisheries groups that are there every single Saturday selling fresh fish of a full variety. We have people coming, one couple come a great distance with, they're up all night long making sourdough bread. There's a company that comes in with homemade sausages. It's amazing how top quality products that we've got. And so when you come, you may not think that produce is on your agenda for the day. I'll guarantee as a shopper, you'll find dozens of other items that'll fill your wish list.
But part of that goes back to how you've set up the farmers market. If I remember correctly, you screen the vendors before they come. They're pre-approved that you can come here because you look to see that they're unique, that they're not selling the same thing that's being sold two steps down. And that way you get the variety and you get the quality that you're looking for. And that's probably one of the things you tell these people at seminars to do is don't just take everybody, screen and get a good variety.
Well, that's a very, very good point. We screen every new potential vendor who calls to register. It isn't that we're troubled by duplication of product, because when we line them up, we won't put two bakery groups together. We won't put two vegetable groups together. We space them with other people. But we don't want to have anybody come with an edible product that doesn't adhere to the State Department of Health issues, that just doesn't seem to present itself in the best light. You know, we insist on canopies and cleanliness and table covers and so on. Where it's even more important is to pre-screen anyone who comes in the non-food area, in the arts and crafts area. We must protect the integrity of our market, and we will never allow ourselves to degenerate down to a flea market reference. We want to make sure that what we've got is top quality, we insist that. So we don't allow people to bring garage sale products or things of that nature. We're pretty careful about that, and it's really paid off well.
Because if they're claiming to be antiques, it better be true antiques, not just old and rickety.
Exactly. And, you know, after we open the market officially at 9 o'clock, whereas early bird shoppers, of course, will start sneaking in around 8 o'clock, and that's fine because we're officially a 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock market. But 8 o'clock's okay because by then we insist that all vehicles are off the grounds and all vendors must be set up by that time. So, it's just a fun place to go, and we're just hoping that more and more people will find the Port Austin Farmers Market. Oh, interesting. You can't believe how many carpools that our people tell us about. There's three different carpools that we know that come as far away as Port Huron to the unit, and Bay City as well, and one group that comes from Saginaw in a van. So we're proud of what we've got. It's better than most. We've been told by people at MSU that we are clearly within the top three farmers markets in the state of Michigan. We did get published in a state magazine that put us in the category of the top 10. So that's due to the hard effort of our vendors, our volunteers, and those that have helped us over the 8 years make it. And I should point out, we need to thank the Port Austin Village. When we first approached them 8.5 years ago, they weren't quite sure what they would end up with as far as a farmer's market. And our promises were fulfilled that we would have something that would help the downtown business community, something that the village would be proud of, and something that would put more of a focal point on Port Austin itself. And it has. I mean, we were down in the Detroit Eastern Market not too long ago, and in the conversation, someone had mentioned that, oh, I see those baskets over there. I bought one in Port Austin. Well, it was the same vendor in Port Austin who was now down in the Detroit Farmers Market. And it was cute because people know, vendors, if you go down the Eastern Market and you get in a conversation about Port Austin, they immediately say they've been told by half a dozen people they ought to be up in Port Austin exhibiting as a vendor because it's so great.
Well, you mentioned the businesses have been so supportive of this. I think the community as a whole, because Port Austin is a summer tourist town to begin with, but Saturday mornings, parking and everything else, the whole town is kind of congested, and people put up with it and take it in stride and enjoy the market themselves.
Well, our residents of Port Austin, we can't thank them enough. I mean, I know they enjoy the market, and that's a bit of a payoff, but we do cause quite a bit of congestion. Parking is a problem.
If you're 4 or 5 blocks away from that, you don't have parking in front of your house unless you parked there the night before.
No, you don't. And we always tell our customers who jokingly kid us about parking so far away that we're not only a farmer's market, but we're an exercise opportunity. So they get that Saturday walk in. One of the things that it has done, Port Austin, we loved it the way it used to be. We love it the way it is. But 10, 15 years ago, you could go bowling down, you know, Lake Street on a Saturday morning because it just wasn't the attraction it used to be. Port Austin was like Caseville many years ago. Everybody went to those two communities on the shores of Lake Huron. But now the farmers market has brought attention to the nice motels that we have, the restaurant opportunities that we have. It isn't a place just to come shop the market and leave. The motels will tell you that their reservations are up, so that people now come and, yes, they know they can wake up on Saturday morning and go to the market. They can bring their, they can do their fishing. They can do their kayaking. We have a bicycle rental in town, so they can do that and enjoy. Our beaches are just absolutely beautiful now. We've just gone through a $1.7 million restoration of what was our waterfront park. We rededicated it as the Veterans Waterfront Park. We have resurfaced it and reseeded it. We have a beautiful pavilion now with picnic tables in and out and around with grills for barbecuing. A brand new handicap ramp down to our beach, which is groomed daily and absolutely gorgeous. And the shining thing about our Veterans Waterfront Park is what the veterans have collectively done to set up, I think, one of the most beautiful memorial parks for past and retired and deceased and current veterans. Our flag presentation of every armed forces unit is just beautiful to look at. Number of memorial benches and artillery and things of that nature are just beautifully laid out. And probably the prime example of a follow-through is that a few volunteers, and I think most of it had been started by John Updegrove, is the Brick Memorial. It's laid in place in the prime setting in front of all the flags for active, retired, and deceased veterans, so that someone on their behalf can purchase a brick for $25, and it will list the armed forces that they were a part of, and the rank that they had, and the years of service. but it is a great, great tribute to our members of men and women of the armed forces. All of that was done with funds that we acquired through different funding agencies, particularly recreational funds from the Department of Natural Resources. And that $1.7 million is a gorgeous, gorgeous showpiece. The two pieces that I didn't mention, we've got playground equipment on what everybody just loves, the safe rubber matting that everyone wants to know all about it. We have a beautiful playground next to the Veterans Memorial, and we've got a sculpture that we dedicated last year that is befitting of any lakeshore community. It's 10 foot high, a beautifully S-shaped stainless steel sculpture that has been cut through with examples of shoreline grasses, fish from Lake Huron, and birds in flight. And we'd sure like everybody to plan on doing a family picnic, coming and enjoying our park and our pavilion, and you can do so at no cost.
Well, that's, I think, what any tourism person would tell you. The first step, you know, is to get them to the town. Then they can see what you have. It's part of what the farmer's market can do on a Saturday is get people there. But if there isn't other things like this around, there's nothing there to keep them there or to bring them back on a Sunday.
Craig, that's the key. I mean, if people came just for the farmer's market, I think that novelty would wear off. But when they know they can go to a nice restaurant in town, or they can sit outdoors, and we're having a new coffee shop, by the way, open up any day. I know that they've just received their equipment. To sit outside and have a coffee or have lunch after the market, or as a family walk the boardwalk, you know, that break wall goes out a considerable distance into the lake, and it's scenic. It's just beautiful. Renting a bike, renting a kayak. We need more of that in Port Austin. I think the next project that we're going to try to pull off is the large 26,000 square foot grassy area that's at the intersection of State Street and Lake Street, actually a part of it which that we use for the market. We're going to erect a sign encouraging anybody that might want a build to suit opportunity, or someone that, you know, if we build the building, would want independent spaces to set up retail businesses. We want to make sure that when families come to town, that the shopping opportunities and the novelty opportunities are available as well. We're on the grow. We're on the go. We're just trying to fine-tune the community so that it remains the place loved by all who are there, but encourages others to come up and enjoy it as well.
You talked about the Veterans Park, and right next to it has been another draw for the community for a long time, and that's the harbor that's there. This year it's a little torn up, but it'll be bigger and better come the next few years when it's done.
Well, it is torn up, and I really have to apologize to the boaters and to the fishermen, because there was a lot of challenge as to why that project had to be done during the prime summer season. It isn't being done just during the prime summer season. This overall project that has been going on in Port Austin is an $8 million renovation project of the harbor. We've already had phase one, which brought such an improvement of the parking lot, the lighting, the utilities, all of the wiring that used to be in those big ugly lights is underground. We've done so much, including building one of the most beautiful visitor welcome centers that the Thumb has. But this project had to begin in the spring, and it will continue until it finishes sometime in November. It couldn't be done, as some suggested, in the middle of the winter, because you can't remove docks and put in floating docks and dredge when the harbor is frozen solid with ice. So what we've done is we've worked in cooperation with the marina that's one city block to the east. That marina has a wonderful boat launch facility there that anyone who used to use our harbor facilities can go to. And I was informed that any day now, Grindstone's newly improved boat launch facility will be open for the general public as well. But what we've got going on now, there's a reason behind it. Over the years, you have to understand the Port Austin Harbor really began back in the 50s. And since then, there has been upgrading and new technology, and there's also been deterioration of what was done in past years that needed addressing. What we're doing now is, if anybody's walked the cement dock out to the gas docks, that being done some 30, 40 years ago, all of the steel seawall sheeting all the way out to the gas pumps and back on the other side had deteriorated to such a point that the steel was rotting away and the cement structure itself was spilling into the lake. We either had to do the job or close the harbor for safety purposes. So that is going on right now. Eventually, they'll put in a brand new gas pumping facility at the end of that pier, a new pump out station for the sewer pump out of the transient boaters. All of the docks will eventually be replaced with floating docks. East docks this year, floating docks probably in the fall of 2013. Dredging will go on, and these floating docks are necessary because of the lack of water in Lake Huron. You know, you darn near need a parachute to get in your boat now, and you do need a ladder, which is mounted on the side of the old docks, to get you out of your boat, because there's a 9-foot variance from the time to the top of the dock to the water level. Also, the old toilet facilities has been torn down. A brand new building that will mirror the decor of our welcome center will be built as a part of this phase. It'll not only be toilet facilities for the fishermen, it'll also be a large workstation and storage unit for the harbor boat personnel. The utilities that will go out to the boaters will include cable TV, 75-amp electrical service, new water lines, and the pump-out station, as I mentioned. The dredging alone is a major component of this. Now, this dredging for the new floating docks this year will be manageable. But the last phase, which is most likely to be done in the fall of 2013, will be dredging, removal of the west docks, and installation of floating docks. That's not going to be an easy project because there's a shelf of shale out there. And when you used to dredge it, you just scraped to the shale and gained hardly nothing in depth. The Waterways Division is going to have to dynamite blast that whole region, then dredge it so that they can get through the depth necessary to accommodate the size boats that they're planning. What we've had in past years is, I won't say underutilization, no utilization by transient boaters, because people traveling the Great Lakes, people going to and from the Mackinac sailboat races, they wouldn't stop at Port Austin on a bet because we did not have adequate facilities. We had poor depth to where sailboats couldn't come in. The utilities alone kept them from being able to utilize. I mean, 35.
People think of that like, you know, when you buy an old house and you don't have a 200 amp service in there, people demand the ability to plug everything in. They want the cable. They want all of that stuff.
Craig, that's absolutely the case. So what we're going to see is when the third and final phase is done, our new boat slips will be able to accommodate boats in excess of 70, 75 foot in length. They will have everything that, what it is we're going to have the type of traffic that Tawas, Harrisville, Mackinac Island, Sheboygan all enjoy. That is going to bring a level of affluence to Port Austin so that the restaurants can enjoy an increase in their trade. The grocery stores, the service centers, the bars, everybody gains when people come to town. We got them coming to town by car. We want to have them come to town by boat.
You have to start teaching people in Port Austin to address these people as Commodore.
Well, we'll take what we can get, believe me.
But you almost call it a yacht club when you're getting those big of a boats in there.
Well, you know, the DNR, they weren't negligent in not addressing what Port Austin had at the time, but they just weren't informed. What really, really happened, I was trying to think, Davis, I just went blank on Pat, no, not Pat, it's Pat's husband, and I apologize. He writes an article in the paper. Fred Davis. Fred wrote an article about how he tried to bring the DNR waterways to town back in the 80s and how other harbors got the attention, therefore other harbors got the money. So we've been without significant attention back 30 and 40 years. What we did finally was to bring the Waterways Commission for one of their quarterly meetings to Port Austin and made them walk every inch of the harbor with us, walk the breakwall. They were almost apologetic as to what they were observing. We had them back just about late summer last year. They said emphatically that when this project is done, it will be the most beautiful harbor in the state of Michigan, because aesthetically we have everything, even to the street. The lighting of the parking lot is low profile, so you could be in our parking lot and still enjoy the fireworks on 4th of July and the stars on any clear night. That's how much thought has gone into the engineering of what we're going to enjoy.
Terrific. And I know you've been working hard on getting some of the funding for the local level, and the state has been kind of kicking in on their part, so you made it a dual effort because the Veterans Park and the harbor adjoin each other.
Well, that's it. If you can imagine $5.7 million between the two first phase projects, and the village was not asked to contribute a single thing to the harbor renovation. That came from waterways funds and other Department of Natural Resource recreational funds. Our Downtown Development Authority did put in, and I think the figure was around $130,000 of the $1.7 million for Veterans Waterfront Park. And that money is now well seen to be enjoyed by everybody who sees the results. We've got the means to put those monies back into our Downtown Development Authority, and it will be that authority who will assist us in eventually putting in our new retail center downtown.
If I remember, one of the major things you did at Veterans Park is you took a great big sand dune out of there so people can actually see the lake.
You know, this is almost laughable. When my wife, who has a background from Port Austin, asked me to come to Port Austin and the very first time before we were married, we got to the red light in town, and it was like, I thought you said there was a lake here. Because the terrain was so high that you could be parked at that intersection of Van Dyke and Lake Street and not be able to see the lake. So both Veterans Waterfront Park and the DNR parking lot, that ground level was lowered by some 4.5 feet. Now when you come, it's picturesque. Oh, by the way, our welcome center, it's got public restrooms. So if anybody's walking the streets of town, it's there. They're clean, they're beautiful, they're brand new. It also has a beautiful meeting room with a whole wall of glass that overlooks the harbor that can accommodate 50 people. So if anybody has a meeting or plans to have a meeting or a gathering or a wedding shower, you should contact our village hall and see if you can enjoy the benefits of that welcome center, because it's everything you want, from restrooms to beautiful view to comfortable seating, and it's brand new.
Just don't wait till the last minute. I'm sure there's people taking advantage of it.
One thing I want to touch on if we have a moment.
A few minutes here left, John.
Okay. Children's Day, Kids Day at the Port Austin Farmers Market. It's on Saturday, June 23rd. Grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads, mark your calendar, because we go to great lengths. Anybody who's been at it in the past was astounded with what we put out there for the children's enjoyment. Everything is free. In the past, the Huron Memorial Hospital has been there to give away 250 bicycle helmets to the first 250 children who come through. They're sized properly according to size and age. We've got a free petting zoo. We have 4 huge inflatable toys that the kids can get in and enjoy. Face painting, you name it, we've got it. It's free. Mark your calendar, June 23rd, Kids Day at the Port Austin Farmers Market.
And it's every Saturday from this Saturday on until the middle of August, or October.
To the middle of October, starting this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you want to sneak in a little earlier, we'll let you do that. Every Saturday, rain or shine, we'll think about wind.
And the produce in that you'll find is usually pretty much seasonal. You get spring-type vegetables and stuff this time of year. By midsummer, you'll have the strawberries and all the other stuff. And by fall, you'll have the full gambit of stuff.
Well, we will have everything you can imagine that arrives seasonally. But we have done something special this year. And what I will guarantee the listeners is that there'll be a full range of produce.
Wow.
Full range of produce.
Incredible.
Good. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for being with us again today, John.
Thank you so much, as always, Craig. And for the listeners, thank you. We hope you'll come to town to enjoy everything that we have in Port Austin.
So again, it starts this Saturday, 9 o'clock. If you sneak in about 8:30, you may get in there first. But 9 o'clock till 1, Port Austin Farmers Market. And it's every Saturday from there on through the middle of October. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news. Our guest today, John Pridnia, who has been instrumental in getting the Port Austin Farmers Market going.